make sure you.
Hello,
and welcome to the Trippy Sippy Duo. It's not a trio. It's not a trio right now because unfortunately our main host, co-host Sydney, is unfortunately sick.
It's okay. I got a better bite.
Is unfortunately sick with the flu right now, and we have one of our co-stars fly in from Puerto Rico. His name is Diego Acosta. You've probably heard about him before on one of our other podcasts. I know we haven't done a podcast in a while. We apologize, but now we're just gonna forget about the past, accept it, and move on, and we're gonna focus on the present. And right now, this episode of the Trippy Sippy Duo, and more importantly, in the future. Right now, this episode of the Trippy Sippy Duo right now is sponsored by Xena's Bug Repellent. Be a rebel and repel the bugs. Xena's Bug Repellent. So, we were kind of talking a little bit earlier about multiple realities, and then we kind of dove into the topic of destiny and free will and purpose and if our future is already set in stone once we are born on this earth in this universe, this specific reality. And we're kind of going to go more in depth about that right now. And we're going to go around and really give our opinions on if our life is already predestined and our future is already set in stone once we are born, or is it kind of up in the air for debate? Because if we already have a predestined future, technically, is there even free will? Because if there's a predestined future, then technically our free will isn't really free will. It's just an illusion of it, because no matter what we do, our actions will still be influenced by that predestined outcome that we have at the end.
Or are you just
destiny?
Or are you just still a slave to your own decisions and you don't know it?
Diego, would you like to expand more on that, sir?
Meaning, for example, what if... It's sort of like a chicken and an egg situation. Because if you do have free will, then you're going to make these certain decisions, and these certain decisions will inevitably lead you to a certain fate. And so while you might not know that fate per se, you're already making decisions towards that with the belief that it is your free will. And it is, but you're already sort of moving towards that.
I feel like that kind of, well, for me, it's like, kind of like how we were talking about earlier off air, about how, you know, how I believe that I feel like we come on this earth multiple times. We visit this earth multiple times in order to go through lessons that we already choose to learn, and we just go through this cycle until we reach enlightenment. Technically, that doesn't that count as like predestined? If we're already coming on this earth to choose a lesson that we want to learn?
I don't think we choose that. I don't think we choose what lesson. It's, to me, it's like a natural, like we were talking about earlier, that it's you're born to survive and then you thrive. So, for instance, your soul yearns for a completion. Like, it wants to complete itself. So, it's going to continually put you in a path of which you can either learn a lesson that your soul is meant to have achieved, or you may not. Because, to me, you can be... Yes, I believe you can be predestined to have a certain type of destiny, per se. Like, for instance, if you had a supercomputer that just automated a program and gave you an answer based on the information you put into it. So, like, you are born with certain characteristics and everything, and you just simulate everything your life was supposed to be, and at the end of that simulation, based on whatever variables, you end up here. So, you're assumed or the simulated answer would be that you get to this point by doing all these things. So that's saying that would be no free will. I believe that we have free will, and that your destiny is never set in stone, because your destiny is always changing. with every second and every choice you ever make, there's something that's not happening because of something you did. For instance, you could go all the way down this path and then take the wrong turn and end up all the way back at the beginning, but you could still choose from that point to, you make a decision and you'll end up right back on the path that you were on to go towards a certain destiny. But every choice you make changes the type of destiny you are forging for yourself.
So you don't think our choices are somewhat influenced by our destiny, and no matter what we do, even if we have this illusion of free will, you don't think our actions are somewhat influenced by our destiny, to where no matter what we do,
even though we
think we're doing something different, technically we're still being influenced by our decision and we'll still end up at that decision? Because I don't think that.
I think that I do believe that there are some things that are meant to happen. Like, for instance, a soulmate. I believe everybody has a soulmate.
I don't think you're supposed to technically meet your soulmate. I think it just flows naturally and it just happens.
But that's not the point. It'd be like a missing part of your soul, because your soul yearns to be completed.
But there's not one soulmate, though. I don't personally believe there's one soulmate.
I believe that there is. Because really? I think that every soul you meet is meant to build you or learn you something that gives you another path to meet your end game or your other soulmate. Is that all? You just wanted to see if it worked?
I just wanted to say pause.
Okay.
Hashtag pause. Start that trend. Okay, then if that's the case, then you know who I think is my soulmate.
Yeah.
But I don't think that. What I think is there's multiple soulmates in this universe. However, it's not in the aspect that you think of or what most society thinks of. I think there's people that you can consider part of your soul family. And out of those soulmates, maybe one is just the romantic one. Or maybe one has that romantic aspect for them.
Okay, so soulmate, it depends on what you define soulmate as.
I define soulmate as someone that you are deeply connected with. Like, you can almost, like, it's like almost like your other half.
That's,
or it's
see,
almost
that's
like a part
more,
of you.
That's my thing. I don't think
it's just one.
I think, but that's where I disagree. I think that a soulmate, because it's singular, that there is one other person that will entirely complete you. I feel like you can have people that can touch your soul or bond with your soul very well. Like, for instance, I believe we're all in some similar plane of existence within our soul.
I think we're all part of a soul family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, we all vibe very well together. We all, like, get along. We can hate each other one second and then be back right to where we were. But we know that what we have is special, and that not everybody will understand it because they're not in our soul plane. Mm-hmm. So,
soul family.
Anyways.
Because why do you think most people think that when we're, like, joking around or showing actual affection to each other, they say, why are y'all being gay with each other?
And see,
it's not wrong to be gay. Just want to clarify that to the people. just in case. It's not wrong.
This is just an inside joke, guys. You wouldn't understand. But it's just funny.
Hashtag gay is not wrong.
We love you.
Hashtag gay. Hashtag it's 20 gay team.
Okay, we're already. Okay, we're down. We're deep down in there. We got to crawl back out. Okay.
So, my point is that I do believe you have one singular soulmate. Because, for instance, if you got in a relationship with someone, like, you love somebody to a point where you're ready to marry them, and something just doesn't go y'all's way. Something just happens and y'all end up splitting up, right? Yeah. You move on, you go to the next person. You can be completely in love with them, ready to marry that person, but let's say you compare that connection with the connection you previously had. It might be a different type of connection, but you might have felt more connected entirely with another person than you did with this one. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, and a lot of people don't understand that, that love doesn't just apply to a partner concept. Love is very broad. It's generalized, but still specific at the same time.
And you can love and be in love with multiple people.
Exactly.
There's only one that you will truly reach that kind of level.
So, for instance, if you had, let's say there's a gym, right? This is our soul. This, when, let's say we're all separated. This soul is separated throughout several things and put into several different people. Okay, so some people might have a bigger chunk of that soul to fill you. Okay, but there could be people that can take part of your soul and be able to bind with you very well, but still doesn't entirely complete you. And I believe that a soulmate is that person that entirely fills that gap that you have been missing, that makes you feel entirely complete in every aspect that you could ever think of. And to me, that is what absolute love is, like absolute true meaning of love is.
What do you guys think is the meaning of love? Let us know.
Oh, because in that same regard, for example, you can still feel, and I do a lot of the times, alone, and I feel like I have all this romantic energy in my soul that I want to give out, but I'm not alone.
Other than to yourself.
Well, okay, yeah.
Via masturbation and celibacy.
Okay, yeah, but when I say romantic energy, it doesn't mean, it isn't necessarily sexual. It's, I want...
Intimacy.
Exactly.
I feel like humans crave intimacy.
Connection.
Too.
Yeah, I crave that connection,
no,
and I'm not necessarily...
it's not connection.
It's a type
it's a
of
special
connection.
It's intimate. It's still connection. Intimate.
Intimacy, all that. And not necessarily sex. And the thing is, then that manifests itself when it's not fulfilled as sort of loneliness, this craving and this waiting for it, even though I'm not alone. Because I have a loving family, I have a great group of friends, but they don't necessarily fill in that gap of intimacy and romance and feeling that vibe and special connection with somebody.
And that goes more onto the our soul plane. We're all, like, we have, I feel that each of us have a soulful connection with each other that we fill certain gaps, but not the entirety of that gap.
Yeah.
It'd be like if you had a wall and it was missing several bricks. We might fill one or two of those bricks, but that doesn't complete the wall.
Yeah,
there's going to be one person that will be able to fill every single one of those brick spots that is missing. And I believe that's where the soulmate thing happens, is that we might all be on that same soul plane, but that doesn't mean we complete each other entirely. We are just a part of that completion. Let's
water.
Just go ahead and take that water away from me.
Sorry,
because
I'm dehydrated.
Holy shit, dude. It was like way up here.
Yeah, I'm dehydrated. This episode is brought to you by the Mariah Weber Spring Water Foundation. Most of the people that are listening to this podcast that know me exclusively, you wild viewers, you were actually part of the Mariah Weber Spring Water Foundation. Make sure you guys stay hydrated and drink your water. Mariah Weber Spring Water. Rhymed. Back to the point in the topic on love. Okay, so you guys only just want to make sure y'all agree. You two, you guys only think there's one soulmate out there that's for that intimate, romantic, intimate connection.
That those two things don't necessarily correlate to me.
Well, yeah, no. But what I'm saying is there's soulmates out there that are part of your soul family that you can have that intimacy with.
Yes.
That is not according to what society's standards of intimacy or definition of intimacy are.
Yes.
I feel like society correlates romanticism with intimacy too much to where they become one, when I feel like they're two completely separate things.
Yes, entirely.
Because I feel like we can be intimate with each other without
extremely
the romantic.
Yeah, role. I mean...
yeah.
And that wouldn't be wrong. Hashtag gay's not wrong.
Hashtag 2018.
Alright, well, now we're getting flagged. Okay, flag.
Because, I mean...
pass interference, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well...
Diego, 15
well,
yards.
With us... and I don't know if y'all felt it, but that intimacy happens way more subtly. It's whenever we actually...
it's just natural.
Yeah, but it happens when...
wow, I got a chest cramp.
Me, it's through vulnerability.
Exactly, because being honest and being sincere...
completely open.
Is completely horrifying.
People don't like to be open, though.
Because you can get easily hurt with that. Being honest, being sincere, gives power to the other person.
It does, entirely.
Because you're making yourself vulnerable, letting them have all this information about you that can utterly destroy you if it gets out there, and yet you're trusting them.
So,
and there's a lot of people that...
Why does society, though, correlate vulnerability with a negative? Like, why does it have a negative connotation?
It's not society, per se. It's just that there's a lot of people out there that don't deserve that sincerity.
I think what he's trying to say is that we are conditioned through society that it's...
Oh, to not be weak.
Yes. And to that vulnerability is a weakness. Because it is a weakness, but it's more of a strength than it is a weakness.
I don't think it's a weakness. I think it's always been a strength.
Well, so like, if you saw a chink in my armor, that's a weakness. Because you can pressure it, you can hit it, and it will cause severe damage.
If you give it power, yes.
That's the thing, though. But you have to understand the concept of vulnerability to know that. A lot of people, majority of people, as in the average person, is not brave or courageous. No. They're not willing to, and courage is just the act of putting yourself in the way of fear, regardless of the outcome.
And still doing things even though you are afraid.
I think being vulnerable with yourself, though, is one of the strongest attributes you can have, because it shows that you don't care, or you don't give a shit what other people think. You know who you are, you're confident in yourself, therefore you're going to show everybody who you are and not put up this mask or these different masks that... in order to conform to society.
Exactly, but not everybody is like that.
Exactly, because most people aren't willing to take that step in acknowledging that there's a lot of things that they thought other people had put onto them, but in reality it was them telling themselves these things that put them in this situation. And the same thing we were talking about earlier is accountability is one of the biggest parts of being vulnerable with yourself, not only with other people. Mm-hmm. And that's where the building of character comes. That you can understand that vulnerability isn't just a weakness, it is a strength if you use properly. Same, there's a saying that I heard in a movie that it was in light there's darkness, but in darkness there's light. So you can, it's just like yin yang, like you can't have one without the other, but you can use the other to fuel the other.
Well,
they feed off of each other.
But remember, in yin and yang, the curve in the middle is the middle path you're supposed to walk.
Exactly, because it's a fine line. Mm-hmm. But my whole point is that vulnerability is the dark side, or is actually, technically, vulnerability would be that line exactly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people view vulnerability as just that darker side. And when it's actually not that, it's an equal force of both.
It's at an equilibrium, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. You have to have balance, which that applies to everything. Like, you have to have balance in order to achieve most things, if not everything.
Yeah. And vulnerability is something inevitable as human beings, as imperfect as we are. It's just, again, how do you use that imperfection and that vulnerability that you have to your advantage, like he said. Because a lot of people tend to shy away, run away from those things about themselves that are not that pretty, and therefore it ends up...
And they put up these masks, and they put up these walls that
exactly
nobody can penetrate
through. The thing is, that's part of your foundation. And if your foundation has a crack in it and you don't address it, your whole system is going to collapse.
Exactly. So, I had a thought about this just a second ago, so we're going to rewind a little bit back to soulmates. Mm. So, we were also talking about enlightenment and reaching enlightenment. So, with the soul, that means in order for you to reach enlightenment, because you cannot do this thing, you can no longer reach enlightenment by yourself, or I don't think you could have previously anyway. You have to have that connection with somebody else that's on the same... or is the other half of your soul. So you have to connect with someone so well and bring that soul to a complete whole again in order to achieve that enlightenment. I believe you can get to a certain level of enlightenment, but to reach that full potential of enlightenment, you have to complete the soul, which is split.
I feel like you need to meet your soul family. I don't know about soul family.
But How do you?
Who knows?
But there's going to be those holes.
Who knows if we really marry our soulmate?
That's my point. Not everybody does because they don't. They close their mind off to the first thing that gives them that love, that attention.
Or maybe people don't even meet their soulmate. Unfortunately, in this specific lifetime, in this reality, they don't have the chance to meet their soulmate.
But that's also another thing with the predestined. So like, I believe that a soul can change. I believe, for instance, if you were a good-hearted soul, like you had all the best intentions, and then something happens to you, and you allow that to turn you into a dark soul, a negative, empty place of where you are no longer going to be on that same level
vibration.
With that previous soul that you were, that would have connected with you. You're now going to find a different soul that matches with you. So I believe, because the soul is ever growing, because just like anything, nobody or nothing is all knowing, because there's something new every day. There's always something new to learn or divulge in. You have to be willing to change, and then that means your soulmate could change technically. Or if you have a soul that's as fluid as yours, to where you can hit both sides of that spectrum, you would still complete each other, even if you were at opposite sides of that spectrum. They'd bring you to balance.
Whatever vibration you're on in this lifetime, you meet that specific soul that's on the same vibration.
But
it's not your official soulmate. It's just in this lifetime, in this reality that you're living right now, that's the soulmate that you're going to have in this reality. In your future lives or your past lives, you may have had different ones. I don't think you reach the same person each and every time.
But see, that's the thing. I feel like... So back to that wall analogy. So like, if you filled all of that wall except for one brick, I don't think that's your soulmate. That's just like, for example, the previous relationships. You might have felt extremely connected with them in most ways, but there's always going to be that one gap that just isn't filled. And that's so they aren't a soulmate. They're just something that is on that same soul plane that builds into you, that feeds you, that allows you to grow and learn and anything that happens because of that connection. But ultimately, no matter how many lifetimes or reincarnations or whatever you go through, you're always going to have the same soulmate because you're a part of that same soul.
When you put it like that, it kind of makes sense.
So there's always going to be something that will entirely complete you. You may not have met it yet this lifetime. Each lifetime could be a trial. Mm-hmm. You have to learn your lessons in order to find that actual soulmate. So maybe each time, maybe it's like a video game. Every level, you're building up, gathering more experience to get to the next level until you hit endgame.
Yeah, because I don't think you hit endgame in one try.
Exactly.
I feel like after this life, it's not, or most people, I feel like, unfortunately, they think this is the only life they're going to live in. It's like, after that, it's done. It's like, I just can't picture complete black or darkness or heaven or just whatever after this life. Like, I just don't think there's a way.
Even if we're not reincarnated into our aspect of reincarnation, to where we're put back onto this earth or whatever, even if there's, let's say there's heaven and hell and whatnot, I believe if your soul is released from your body, that you move on to something else, like another level, like you have some type, you can find your purpose in that new, level. So like, the end game was never completed because there's always something else, because like we said, every day, every second, there's something new to divulge in or experience or learn.
Who knows if you even meet the soul in your soulmate in your lifetime, though? There's 7 billion, 7 some odd billion people in this earth. Who knows if your soulmate's
that's
even...
That's current reality.
Yeah, like, who knows if... Oh, wow, that was deep. Who knows if they're, like, German or Chinese or Korean, like... There's so many people on this earth, maybe we haven't even come in contact with our soulmate. Because there's a huge possibility that maybe they may be foreign to you. And they're not of the same nationality or race or whatever. Like, you just don't know.
So, on the concept of heaven, maybe enlightenment is reaching that. So, let's say your enlightenment is getting to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
To us, heaven is this, you know, beautiful place. Like, you're supposed to be there, whatever. You want to be there. Like, you would be completed by going there, right? That's like a... like the maximum achievement, right?
I feel like heaven's a state of mind.
Hey, but that's the thing, is that let's say that's just another word for enlightenment.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
so, like, to people who have already reached enlightenment, it's not heaven, it's just the reality.
Yeah.
We just, as humans, have that idea that heaven is, yes, that's just the label we associate with it.
Yeah.
To people that have already reached that enlightenment, that's just their normal everyday reality.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be like, y'all ever seen
Truman Show?
No. What Dreams May Come.
Man, you watch some fucking BS movies. B-budget movies.
I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, so in this movie, it deals with, because it's Robin Williams.
Mm. Oh, beautiful.
Rest in peace.
And it's a beautiful movie, actually. So, the whole point of the movie is Robin Williams, he has a wife, two kids. Beginning of the movie, the two kids die in a car accident. They completely die. Then it's just him and his wife. They live together happily, trying to cope on. Then Robin Williams dies. And so his wife is left all alone on planet Earth. He dies. He gets to heaven. And, of course, I think Morgan Freeman is God or something like that.
He's always God.
Naturally.
But he gets to heaven, and there, heaven is individual to each person. So each of his, when he finally sees both of his kids again, he gets to see them because they're part of his heaven. And he gets to see part of their heaven. And just heaven is completely infinite. Because that's what, you know, you did good in life, and now you have your own personal heaven. But then, long story short, then Robin Williams finds out from one of the angels that his wife killed herself because she's all alone. You know, both her kids died, and now her husband is dead. She killed herself. She gets sent straight to hell. So Robin Williams makes the journey all the way from heaven into hell to try and save his wife. And there, hell is completely also individual to each person. They're reliving their individual hells, and it's just a constant loop.
Yep.
So therefore, that's the thing, at least. I feel like if there would be a heaven or a hell, that would make the most sense.
Yes, because I believe that hell is more of a prison sentence.
Exactly.
It's a way to force that soul to either A, bend to that sentence or that torture, or use it, finally realize that this is something of their own making, and therefore use it as a tool to reach enlightenment. Yeah. Even, like, for instance, somebody, a serial killer that did all the wrong things, got extreme life sentences because of choices that they made, ends up with this life sentence, you know, gets put to death, I believe, or not. Let's say they find themselves in prison, because a lot of criminals do. Mm-hmm. They find themselves in prison, and they build upon themselves from that point, which is why a lot of people come out of prison different than what they went in.
That's true.
Because they finally hit that point of like, why am I like this? Why am I doing these things? And they start to finally accepting things the way they are, as in they did these things to themselves. They put themselves in the situation, so what should I do to change the situation?
They take accountability.
Exactly. Accountability. Amen. And whenever they find that accountability, they find themselves through that vulnerability that we talked about, and build upon that and use it as a weapon for good instead of evil, in which they find themselves slowly crawling out of that hole that they put themselves in, regardless of how long it takes, whether or not. And this has nothing to do with outside influence, whether people still think you're evil, you're the devil incarnate himself, whatever.
Yeah, and it makes complete sense then that a hell would be based upon your own choices.
Exactly.
So that therefore then you would suffer. And also how heaven would be individual, because I don't know about y'all, but for me, being the sappy romantic that I am, heaven for me would just be a bed with the person that I love, just be completely talking about what we love and just being there.
Being at the same level of vulnerability.
That's beautiful.
Exactly.
I like that. That's beautiful. I thought you were going to say like sex or something.
No, literally one of the best dreams I've ever had was...
maybe a glimpse of your heaven.
Yeah, actually. Yeah,
maybe.
I just remember that I was in the shower with another girl. She's naked, but I can't see her face. But I felt no sexual impulse. She just slapped me with a towel, and I started laughing, and then I started tickling her.
Just gonna be explicit?
No, that was it. All I felt was...
do I have to add a flag?
No.
Okay.
All I felt was pure love for her. Mm-hmm. Not even a sexual impulse. I didn't want to, you know, have sex with her or anything. All I felt was that I love this person, and it just so happens that they're naked in front of me.
Because that's the true meaning of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Is being entirely naked to everything.
We should be vulnerable.
Well, it's harder than it seems.
That's true. One quick question before we end this podcast. It's kind of off topic. Do you think all people are born good? If so, if yes, why? If not, why?
No.
No.
I believe everybody is born into the same reality, that there's, you start in the middle, and based on the choices that you make, you move closer to one side.
So you're telling me when you look at an infant, a child, a baby,
I see potential.
Born out of the womb, so you don't think they're born good.
There's potential.
As soon as they,
good.
But what I'm saying is, as soon as they come out of the womb, you don't think they're born holy and good.
No.
I believe they're born with the potential to be anything they want to be.
I feel
whether or not that intention is to be evil or good.
They're born good, and they're born with love and pure holy intent. However, due to their environment and due to their conditioning and the way they're raised, they either fall off of that or that enhances even more.
It's based on the environment that they're brought into.
But in that specific doctor's room when they are...
but you have no idea that that's where they're coming from. That's a positive environment right there. That's something that, for instance, like, I'm going to reference Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So Bane, one of his most famous sayings is that you adapt to the darkness. I was born in it. He was literally born in the darkness. He had no other choice but to accept that darkness which he did have a choice, though, in my opinion, that he could have used that darkness as fuel to be something better than what he did become. But not knowing any better, he let it eat at him and grow inside of him.
And change him.
Exactly. But that was it. But he wasn't born evil. He was just born in an evil environment that brought him up to be that. Same
so
way society
you don't
think is
he
conditioned.
Was born evil?
No.
Then what was he born?
Neutral.
And the thing is,
I don't know about that.
Relating also back to a deity, I think part of
like Hitler,
God,
was Hitler born evil?
No.
No. He was born with the potential for it. And it just so happens that with the certain set of circumstances that he went through, he lived up to that potential.
I feel like... so.
He lived up to a potential.
But the potential goes both ways, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Part of the thing that I was going to say is that as a god deity, we have the gift of free will. And with that free will... of course, we had just talked about whether or not free will was...
so with that free will, we don't have a destined purpose?
No, but... my point is, with that, at least let's assume that free will does exist. So with that free will comes both the potential for great kindness
or great evil. I completely agree.
The thing is, one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that being a good person or an evil person is simply one choice.
Exactly.
When it's not, it's multiple choices that you make throughout a given set of time.
Exactly, and that's... I can fucking reference another movie right now.
It's a movie.
It doesn't matter, it's the concept.
Why are you attacking the media when the message is still very valid? It's
so,
just a way of presenting the message.
In Deadpool... whenever Colossus tells him that you don't eat a hero, wake up a hero, sleep a hero, shit a hero, shower a hero, whatever, it's those defining moments when you decide to be a hero instead of when you have every other opportunity to not be a hero. It's every choice adds up to something. For instance, if you were to do something completely evil, like if you were to just kill an innocent person, that was an evil act that you committed. That doesn't necessarily taint you to be evil for the entirety of your existence. Exactly. If you allow that moment to keep applying pressure to you your entire life, to continue to allow it to make you an evil person, then you will become what you've always not wanted to be, if that's something that you did
not want
to be.
Whenever I look at a kid just an infant, a baby, like within the first year, I don't see any potential for evil. I just see that baby's intent is just pure love and joy.
But
that they're not looking to be evil. I feel like in their environment, in their childhood, in their condition of how they're raised over those few precious years in the beginning, that's what molds them to be evil. I don't think they're born with any
potential. But it's also potential. A choice.
But my thing is that you can't... If you were born just now and you had all the influences to be an amazing human, that doesn't necessarily gonna make you an amazing person. Some people, the way that they might not be susceptible to the way you're trying to teach them or imprint on them to be good. They might find your definition of good is far different from theirs.
They're kids though. They don't know any better.
Exactly.
And the thing is, think about it like
they're
this.
They're children. They don't know.
Have you heard about the one famous serial killer that went around picking up hitchhikers, killed them, and then ate them?
Takes a chance on that.
No. But there was a serial killer like that roaming around, and guess what? He was raised in a loving family, always was taught great things, and he still turned out like that. It's always a choice.
But somewhere over his life, I guarantee you he had a traumatic experience that influenced him in order to do that.
But
as a kid,
he chose to allow that to change who he was.
As an adult, yes.
It does
but
not
I'm
matter.
Talking about in the beginning when they are just born.
Just a second.
Okay.
Sorry. I think you're confusing good and evil with innocence.
Mm-hmm.
People are born innocent.
Yes.
That does not mean they're more good than they are bad. That just means they're right in the middle. They're riding that fine line that we were talking about.
So you don't think people are born, let's say, with a sin? Or people aren't born sinners?
Exactly.
That's what innocence is.
But sin is also a construct of mankind.
To miss the mark.
That is something that we use to rationalize behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you believe it's a sin or not. I can drink alcohol and that's technically a sin. Does that make me an evil person because I drink alcohol or smoke weed? No, right? That's just something that we use to enjoy the time that we have. That doesn't necessarily make me evil or a better person for doing either of those things. That's just something that I did that doesn't necessarily have an effect on what I'm doing.
Yeah, it comes down to choices, because another great example is my own mother. She was raised in a very abusive household. Had even my own grandfather point a gun at my grandmother's face and almost shoot her. She had all this traumatic shit happen to her. And guess what? When she then grew up to be an adult, she was exposed to all that as a child. She then grew up to adulthood and said, I'm gonna be different. I don't want to do that. That was a choice.
You know what? So then maybe you guys are right. So maybe I was confusing her. Mixing it up.
Yeah, you were mixing
so
innocence.
So, do we all agree then that you think children are born innocent?
Yes, entirely.
Because that's what I... That's kind of where I'm more believing. I apologize for using the wrong term, but yes, I believe...
Yeah.
I believe they're all born innocent.
Mm-hmm. I agree, completely.
And, again, born with the potential, because everybody has the potential to go either way.
Exactly, yeah.
Because in another reality, Hitler could have been fucking the greatest guy.
Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
Technically, if he did what he was sent out to do in that reality, he would be considered right, and that fucking blows my mind. Because nobody else that thinks differently would be alive, technically.
Mm-hmm.
because he wanted to get rid of everybody that thought differently, other than his ideology.
Yeah, that's not how that happened, buddy.
But that goes into ideology.
Shout out to my sixth grade teacher.
But
Hitler didn't start the movement or the Holocaust, whatever you want to call it, to get rid of people that had different thought processes than him.
Other than being white.
It was based on an image. If they didn't look the same or have... Because he believed that the German...
Empire,
or that whole culture was perfect. Was perfection in his eyes. He thought so much that anything outside of this was no longer considered perfection.
Pause. Thank you for tuning in to the Trippy Sippy Duo podcast. It would be trio, however, Sydney is sick with the flu.
Why are you repeating
the virus? We were here with our co-star Diego Acosta. We're going to be wrapping this up. If you want to listen more to the podcast and tune in to our previous discussion that we were talking about earlier before we were wrapping this up, you can go ahead and buy the subscription service.
We are a completely free podcast. Yeah. He's just joking with you.
Yes.
Gay is not wrong.
If you paid for this podcast, you have just been swindled.
You have been robbed because we're all idiots and we have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're not certified philosophers or anything. We're just young adults that like to talk deep and be vulnerable with each other and the community.
Andrew would be the only.
Let's not use real names, please. No, my name is Alfonso. My name is Alfonso. This is Derek, and behind us, our co-star is Wyatt.
It's Lance. Okay.
Lance. If you bought our subscription service of the $5.95 monthly to listen to our podcast, then you've just been swindled. Contact our customer service email. We'll go ahead and refund you.
We don't even have a specific customer care service. So
they don't know that.
It is at do not reply@yahoo.com.
Please be sure to ensure full refunds to include your credit card, social, and data.
Also, before we officially end this podcast, we would like to thank our or dad, if that's what you're into. If we would like to thank our
that gay's not wrong.
Yeah, gay's not wrong. We would like to thank our wonderful sponsors over at Xena's Bug Repellent and Strensum's, the Strensum's lineup of the Strensum's Good Old Rope, along with the small blanket, and then in addition, Strensum's Tick Clock, the clock that goes tick and no talk. And then the one more sponsor spot, Austin, which one was that?
We are very proud to present our newest sponsor, Warrior Culture.
Ah, I was waiting for that.
It is a brand of which we strive to build the best version of ourselves in every aspect possible, but we do promote it through fitness as a well-being of health, and health
and
we mean body,
well.
Spirit, soulfully,
mind,
everything.
Body, spirit, baby. Also, a couple more sponsors that were part of this podcast. Abigail's Apple Wedges. Abigail's Apple Wedges give you the sharper edges so you can have the sharper taste. And then, Diego, we also had one more sponsor spot. Would you like to go and hit it real quick?
Yes.
You're bad at improv. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We'll see y'all next time. We're not going to give you a specific date because it may take months, it may take years, or it may take days.
Maybe tonight.
Who knows?
So, signing out.
Yo.
This is Austin. I love you. All of you. Thank you for listening.
I love you. I have a better butt. I have the biggest booty here.
This is John. See y'all around. Peace.